Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Everybody, and welcome back to ActiveQuest episode 37. My name is Joseph Yaden. I'm back from the dead, I guess, from last week. And I just wanted to say I appreciate you, Chris and Josh, for, you know, holding down the fort while I was gone. I apologize for that. Joining me today is Mr. Chris Penwell. How's it going, Chris?
Bonjour. I'm okay. I feel a bit dizzy from a roller coaster I've just been on today, but other than that, yeah, I'm good.
So, you're going to have to explain this roller coaster situation. I mean, is this one that goes upside down? Is it really shaky? Is it?
Oh, it goes upside down. Like,
oh man,
there's big drops. There's loop-de-loops. There's a lot going on.
And those loop-de-loops,
it was way
man.
Too much for me to handle. Whew. Yeah, it was rough, but it was fun, but rough.
You told me you're feeling queasy, or you were feeling queasy.
I'm feeling much better now. But
well, I appreciate you coming on the show anyway, even though you weren't feeling too
hot.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, like, I was just putting on my English stereotype, just had a cup of tea, you know, I was trying to recover from the horror that came across my way.
Is tea really like a band-aid that fixes everything for you
guys?
Oh,
yeah. Most times, yeah. Whenever you're tired, you just have a cup of tea and you're fine.
Oh, my friend was decapitated. I'll just give him a cup of tea. He'll be fine. That's how you get ahead. Mr. Josh Nichols, thank you for joining me
today. I'll just laugh at it because that's really fun. Getting ahead. That's really good.
And I don't know if you guys can hear it. There's some assholes mowing his lawn at 8 o'clock at night over by Josh's house. So I don't know if you guys can hear. I can't hear it because I have shitty ears. But Chris said he could hear. So if you guys hear that, apology. You know, we apologize on.
We're trying to do as much noise cancellation as possible.
Done with that spot. Yeah, but we'll try to get rid of it. But yeah, I'm also laughing because my desk is vibrating. I usually don't have a vibrating desk when I record podcast. So that's weird.
Jesus Christ. God. So, yeah, I was out last week, and it was a last-minute thing, and I really appreciate you guys again for, you know, holding down the fort. And, of course, thank you to Grayson, features editor over at Twinfinite, for sort of filling in for me. It was not it was totally last-minute thing. So, you know,
Grayson's like our Gary Whitta. He's like our classy, fancy, like, guest, you know?
Right. Yeah, he's always welcome on the show.
Yeah, thank you, Grayson. You did a great job.
And I, you know, actually, with Grayson, I owe a lot to where I am today because of him. I mean, he sort of helped me get into Twinfinite, and Twinfinite really, like, helped me become a better writer. So, shout out to Grayson, man. Every time I even hear his name, I'm like, man, go Grayson. He's awesome. So I just want to let everybody know what I was doing last week. I was actually working on a guide for Astral Chain for IGN, which is, and I see one of you guys put in the show notes here that I have published work on for IGN as like a news item. I'm not going to jump
but
into
if you're
that,
curious though, yeah, it is in there. You can see Joseph's tweet about it and you can see the thing he worked on. It's it's really cool not only that, you know, they reached out to him, but it's also really cool that, you know, he, you know, has his content in one other spot, because he's, Joseph writes good stuff. You guys haven't read his stuff.
Yeah, thank you. And one thing I want to say, though, is the work of a guides writer is, man, it is, like, so underappreciated. It's, like, it's basically thankless work, because depending on when you get your game from the publisher, you know, that will determine how much time you have to get the guide done, and if... I'm not going to go too far into it, but basically I didn't have that much time to get this guide done. So I spent, Labor Day weekend getting it done, and it was insane because this was a game that I was like really looking forward to, Astral Chain, and I wanted to like play it as like a consumer, not really for work, you know? And so, yeah, I had to play it a totally different way. So anytime you reference a guide, whether it's a YouTube video or just like a text walkthrough or, you know, some combination of that, just know that a lot of...
I want to say two quick things on that. The first thing is just to put it, because I've written some like mini guides, not a full guide, but I've done like mini guides. Just imagine you're frustrated in a game and you're really frustrated. You really want to move on, but like you can't check a guide. Because you're making the guide. Like, it's it's frustrating. Yeah, exactly. And then the second thing I want to touch on is I've talked a lot with people about that. There is a completely different brain in your head when you're reviewing a game. And so when you said that you were looking forward to just playing this as a consumer, that really resonated with me because it's just completely different. Like, people might be like, oh, you know, you write for game websites. It's just all fun, and it's no work. It's still work. Like, you have to play the entire game differently. You have to ask yourself questions the entire time. You have to be looking for stuff. Whenever I would review games, I always had a notebook next to me. I'd be taking notes. Like, it's just, playing analytically is just so much different. You don't get to just turn your brain off and relax. And so, like, yeah, it's, exactly. I don't know. That just really resonated with me because I felt that. Like, you're all excited to play this game, and you're like, oh, I'm still playing it, but not really. You know?
Yeah. So, anyway.
And there's something I want to add as well, that, you know, I'm really happy for you, you know? Because that it's a dream of yours to write for IGN, and you're really starting to get your foot in the door, right? So that's really cool. And I know a few weeks ago you're feeling down, you know, about, like, not getting into the industry as much as you want to be, and now, you know, you're taking your first
steps. Good job, man.
That's really awesome.
I really appreciate that, you guys. Thank you. I just want to let everybody know why I was out last week. So this episode's going to be interesting because we have a lot to talk about, of course, but there was a Nintendo Direct this week, which is basically like a holiday.
Oh, it is. It's great.
For,
I love it.
People in the gaming industry. I mean, it's so funny because you look on Twitter the day of a direct and everybody's like giving their predictions or like all these funny memes.
And we're not going to get this, but oh my God, I would love to get this. And then sometimes that actually happens and it's like, oh shit. Oh my God, somebody wanted this to happen and he said it wouldn't and it did.
Right. And it's just cool because it's something that everybody experiences at the same time and we can all react to it as like a community, and nobody's mad really when a Nintendo Direct is going around. I mean, typically and it's just kind of like a happy, joyful thing. So I always love when we get Nintendo Directs. So there was a lot to talk about with that. So we'll jump into that. Got some interesting stuff on Anthem. BioWare posted this like, sort of like a blog post that we'll get into. We're going to talk about Gears 5 because you guys have been playing that, right? Or at least Chris has, right? Or am I mistaken?
I haven't played. I actually played a little bit of Gears 5 at the Microsoft store, like the tutorial section. But other than that, I haven't yet because I'm still waiting on Gears 5 to release for everyone rather than just releasing for Game Pass.
Oh, that's right, because it's like early release for Game Pass members. Yep. Gotcha. Okay. Well, anyway, we're still.
I've been looking for. I just want to say, like, I'm looking. I've been looking forward to all week. It's one of my most anticipated games this year. I just didn't want my silence to be misconstrued for, like, you know, not being excited. I was really busy this week at work and just didn't have a chance to. As soon as I'm recording, I'm gonna like play the fuck out of that game. I played the beta and really enjoyed it. And like, yeah, this is a big IP for me, so this is really exciting. Yeah, and then really quick, I just wanted to add just some more clarification, just since I, you know, play an Xbox. The release schedule, to clarify what we were talking about a second ago, and just in case any of your listeners are wondering about it, if you have the Ultimate Edition, which is like $80, and it comes with a bunch of other extras too, but, you know, like a steelbook and some, you know, cosmetic stuff, But if the other thing that comes with is early access, you get to play it 5 days early. I know they're not the only game that's done that, but that's what that is. And then the way it works is if you have Game Pass Ultimate, which is just your Gold Game Pass bundled together, then you get the Ultimate Edition of the game to download. So, that's the release schedule. If you have the Ultimate Edition or Game Pass Ultimate, you have the Ultimate Edition. You can play it September 5th at 9 p.m. local time. And otherwise, it comes out September 10th. So it's about to have its complete full release. So next episode, Chris and I both have a lot to talk about.
Right. And I think basically by the time this episode goes live, it'll be out for everybody. So, you guys can look forward to that. The PS4's monthly downloads list was released. And, you know, that's one of my favorite things to talk about. So we'll jump into that. And then we'll touch on some Cyberpunk stuff as well. I've been playing Astral Chain. That's basically all I've had time to play this week. You know, I haven't even played that much Pokemon Go this week. That's how busy of a week it's been for me. Which I play Pokemon Go pretty much an unhealthy amount. So but it looks like Chris, you've been playing one of my favorite platformers, Celeste. So I'm excited to hear your thoughts on that. Isn't it so good, that soundtrack?
I listen to that soundtrack at work sometimes. It's on Spotify. It's so good.
Yeah.
I'm just going to put this out there. It might be one of my favorite games I've played ever.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really good. And I'm sure you like it more than 2D Mario, of course, because we've all heard your your rant about 2D Mario.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
And then we've got, it looks like, a listener question to get to as well. So, if you guys are ready, why don't we jump into some news? So, okay, let's see here. Oh, hold on. Before we get to that, let's do this. Hey!
There we go. What are you drinking, Joseph?
So, you know, this is funny. I was talking with Kennedy about this, and she said, let's see, I told her that I was drinking Pamplemousse, and she goes, what the hell is that? And then we look it up, and apparently it's grapefruit? I think.
Weird.
Pretty sure it's grapefruit, but it's French for grapefruit. There's no way to know. We can't look it up or anything, so we'll just have to, if I'm wrong about that, I guess we'll die being wrong.
I just looked it up, and it's French for grapefruit. So when you said it's light grapefruit, you were completely right.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's tasty, too. I like that one. I think I might start getting that more often. All right. So the first story we're going to touch on here, it's actually several stories. Let's go through the things they announced in the Nintendo Direct, or at least the notable things, because it was 40 minutes.
It was packed.
You know, it was packed. Yeah, I mean, it was a packed Direct. So let's see. For starters, basically to the surprise of no one, Overwatch is coming to Switch. Now, this is an interesting one to me because on one hand, of course Overwatch is coming to Switch. Obviously it's coming to Switch. But on the other hand, it's kind of weird because the Switch is a portable device and the whole Wi-Fi thing and Overwatch is a multiplayer game. So I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that, on like, you know, does a multiplayer game have a place on a handheld device? Let me toss it over to you, Chris. What do you think about that?
I think it does. Splatoon 2 has been successful on Switch. And this one also has gyro controls in Overwatch for Switch version, so that's really cool.
Yeah, people really like
so
that.
I think games of any kind would work well on Switch, because personally for me, even if there's even if I can't take it around with me, I can play Overwatch like in my bed, you know, like lying down and just playing it like that, you know,
or in the bathroom. That's the best place.
Shitting just got more fun for Overwatch fans.
Jesus Christ.
And it's also a good avenue for people who want to play Overwatch but don't want to hear the trash talk, like the dog you could probably hear outside.
Yeah, I'm about to go strangle that thing. Is that on your end, Chris, or Josh?
Yeah, that's on my end. That's on my end.
You can hear it, right? The Canadian. I thought you could hear the English accent from that dog.
Mm-hmm.
It's out there drinking tea.
So yeah, Overwatch will be out on Switch on October 15th. I'm probably going to get it, honestly. I'm kind of excited. Josh, is Overwatch on the Switch something?
Yes, actually, and here's why. I have it in PS4. I got it to, like, you know, I'll play that sometime. But, like, I'm just busy. I don't have time to play everything I want to play. But here's what's going to do me over. With, like just push me over the edge, make me, like, okay, I'm going to play this now. I'm pretty sure there's going to be Nintendo cosmetic stuff in this game. Like, I know it's not confirmed, but, like, there was Nintendo Cosmetic stuff from, like, Tekken Tag Tournament, which was a, like, enhanced port on the Wii U. If there was, you know what I mean? Like, if they're throwing cosmetic stuff in it, like, why wouldn't a fun company that likes Nintendo, you know, like, why would, like, I'm just saying, I'm sure Blizzard would be, like, love to do that. And I don't see why Nintendo wouldn't give them the rights to, you know, do that. So, I don't know. That's, that alone for me is exciting.
So, and I could also see this happening with voice lines. It's like, it's a me, Chaser!
Just stuff like that. That'd be funny.
Or something.
Like, and also, it's coming out a good time of the year for people to play it portably, because we're going to have people traveling for Thanksgiving and Christmas and other holidays that you might celebrate in November and December. I would like to list them all off. I just don't know off the top of my head. Yeah, but, you know, like, I notice, like, when people come for Thanksgiving and Christmas, like, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law and whatnot, everybody's got their Switch. And whatever games just came out, everybody's playing. So, like, I'm saying, I could see a lot of people that are like, you know what, I'm going to go visit mom and dad, but, like, I'm playing some Overwatch, too. It's going to lead to a lot of purchases, I think, because people might already have it on PC, and the portability is probably already tempting, but the fact that we're coming up on people commuting, I think it's really going to push people over the edge.
Yeah, and it's only $40.
Oh, shit. Man, that's like, yeah, 60, okay, I'm definitely going to get that day one. That's such a good deal.
Right. So,
and according to The Verge, it comes with 14 character skins and a 3-month subscription to Nintendo Switch Online.
That's,
so that's actually, like, a really good deal. So then this is one that I'm really excited about, this next thing that was announced. Return of the Obra Dinn for Switch. This was a game that came out this year for PC. And everybody, or maybe it was last year. I think it was last year.
It was last year. Yeah, it was nominated at the Game Awards, I think.
Yeah. And it's like a sort of a, I guess like a detective sort of puzzle game. Let me look up the...
It's kind of like What Remains of Edith Finch, but, you know, it's like that kind of game where you're trying to figure out things that happened because you can manipulate.
Yeah.
I'm excited
for it. Yeah, it's a puzzle. Yeah, it's a puzzle game. And it's made by the same designer, Lucas Pope, who did Papers, Please. Yeah. So no release date on that, but it's coming out sometime this fall. But really cool, sort of like, we have to figure things out, and you're on this ship called
the
Obra Dinn.
Style is so cool.
Yeah. It's like black
and
white.
It's like a pencil drawing. It's trippy. People are going to either love or hate that, though. I think that might be a deal breaker. Because it just, I don't know, it's trippy looking. It looks cool.
Right.
And for those who don't have a Switch, it's coming out on PS4
Xbox,
Xbox One, I believe, as well.
Yeah, exactly. So what else? Oh, I know this isn't on here, but Deadly Premonition is out on Switch now, and there's a sequel coming out, which is a timed exclusive for the Switch. So that's really,
I mean, that's a
really
cult horror game coming to Switch first. If no, I mean, Nintendo's doing, they're doing so good. Like, they're doing great.
Yeah. So, it's exciting, that's awesome. Yeah. What else? Game Freak, the Pokemon Studios, next game. It was called Town before, codename Town. Now it's called Little Town Hero, and it's out next month.
Okay.
So that'll be out in October. So the write-up here from The Verge, and let me see who this is from. This is Nick Statt. Just a second. Let me get this here. Okay, it reads, quote, in addition to a pair of new main Pokemon games, Sword and Shield, arriving later this year, Japanese developer Game Freak is also launching an entirely original RPG, now officially titled Little Town Hero. The game is coming out October 15th, and in a pleasant surprise, will feature music from Undertale creator Toby Fox, who has, like, you know, one of the most beloved soundtracks ever in Undertale. So that's really cool.
I have a little side note.
Oh, go ahead.
You know, Toby Fox has been getting chummy with Nintendo, right? Like,
he has.
We're
going
to talk about later. Sans is coming to Smash. He has a new remix in Smash of Megalovania. Now he's doing this composing work for Little Town Hero. What if he makes an Earthbound game?
Stop!
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
He helps. So he's
just putting it out there in the world.
Mother 3 first, and then also Mother 4. Yeah.
God, because for those who don't know, Undertale came from, like, Earth. It was like an Earthbound mod, basically, right?
Yeah.
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 So he, I mean, if anybody could do it, it would be him.
Yeah.
Man, that would be so rad.
And also, Undertale's super popular in Japan as well, so it's not just the West that is popular, and it's like a popular all around the world.
I just want to remind everybody too, Chris is a bastard. This could and he always his predictions always come right. So like I'm like,
yeah, that's actually
whenever Chris true. Predicts yeah. something, I'm like, it's like it's announced for me. Like I'm like, oh, it's gonna happen.
So, yeah, that's that'd be really crazy. All right, what else we got here? Let's see. Oh, Banjo-Kazooie coming to Super Smash Bros. Ultimate today, so that'll be out already for those Smash fans. I think Chris, you're probably the biggest Smash fan out of all of us, right?
Yeah. Oh, I love Smash. Yeah.
So, I mean, is Banjo-Kazooie a character you're excited for?
Yeah, I personally for me, like I'd never played the Banjo-Kazooie games. But I played the character at Nintendo booth in my mall, and he's really fun. He's a great character, and I love the stage that he's on, where his stage is kind of unique. It's called Spiral Mountain, and it spins with the camera. So it can be a little nauseating, but it's really fascinating, and it's so unique. So, yeah, like I like his addition. Yeah, to the Smash series, yeah, but I'm not excited about the next character we're about to mention. I think it sucks.
Yeah. So, and I can't remember the order. So I think they covered Banjo first, and then they followed it up with this, right?
Is
that the order of things? But anyway, I mean, either way, compared to Smash, this character is sort of underwhelming. Terry, from the SNK fighting series Fatal Fury is coming to Smash as well. A lot of people are probably just like, who even is that? I don't know who that is. So like people felt underwhelmed by that. That's fine. Yeah. It's another Smash character for you guys to enjoy. He will be
November.
Is it November? Okay, cool. It doesn't say it here. Sorry, we're speeding through this. There's just a lot to get through.
But I'm disappointed with Terry. But it's exciting that there's more Smash characters on the way after the fighters pass. So there's still hope for the characters I really want to see. So
I just wanted to say really quick, because I meant to say this in another episode, but I just think it's an interesting tidbit. I forgot who, but it was revealed by Nintendo. Somebody at Nintendo was talking about it. Or maybe it was Phil Spencer. No, it wouldn't have been Phil. Anyway, it was Nintendo. I'm sorry, I don't remember. I'll try to find my source and put it in the doc. But I remember reading that Nintendo actually said it was easier to get Banjo than it was to get Dragon Quest in Smash, which I thought was really weird, because like I thought everybody wants their people in Smash, but I also thought it was really, you know, cool how chummy Microsoft and, you know, Nintendo are, like the fact that it was that easy for them to,
but let's be honest, you know, they're not using Banjo at all, so there's no real
I mean, they might eventually. So, I don't know. Maybe. Phil Spencer was wearing a Banjo-Kazooie backpack like 2 years ago at E3, which got everybody talking. But I just think it's cool. I like it when companies that are supposed to be competitors are also like buddies.
Super Nintendo games coming to the Switch via the online service. So before there was like it was technically like one item that you would download with the NES games, and then all the games would be contained in that SKU, I guess. And so now there's a separate one for Super Nintendo games. And the lineup is like really good. I'm not going to go through all the games, but there's like 20 games on it. And let me just list the like heavy hitters. So Super Mario Kart, that supports couch co-op, Star Fox, A Link to the Past, Super Metroid, Super Mario World 2. I think F-Zero is on there as well. There's like Ghost a Kirby game on there too. I mean, what Ghost and Goblins? Yeah, yeah.
Breath of Fire's on
what
there too.
What a lineup! Breath of Fire, yeah, Breath of Fire. Lucas from PlayStation Lifestyle is really excited about that. I mean, are you kidding me? What a lineup!
And that's just the starting lineup. Like that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, but that's the thing I was thinking about too. Like, I almost feel like they blew their wad in one in one go. Like, what else do they have?
Earthbound.
I mean, obviously there's Chrono Trigger,
Final Fantasy III.
I'm sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's like a few that they could do, but man, I mean, yeah, okay, maybe you guys are
sorry. Right. Super Nintendo. Yeah, I love the Super. There's so many fucking games in that thing. I think they got plenty to go, but I mean, you're right. They did kind of like release a lot of the big ones, though. Like, you know, yeah.
Right. So that's awesome. That's available now. And I tweeted this out too. I think it's so smart how they did this, because the online subscription is a year old now. It came out last September, and so if anybody got the year membership, their membership is like now expiring, or it's about to expire, you know, shortly. What a smart thing for them to announce this to get everybody to re-up
and new DLC,
right?
For like, Tetris. I forgot what it's called, but the Tetris game.
Oh yeah, that's true too. So that's awesome. And then the last thing I've got here, let's see. Oh, Tokyo Mirage Sessions Sharp FE is coming. Or let's see, it's called Tokyo Mirage Sessions Sharp FE Encore is coming to Switch, which is a game that people have been clamoring for, because that was one of the great games that came out on the Wii U that nobody ever played, and so now everybody will have a chance.
That sounds like a Kingdom Hearts title to me.
It is, yeah. So that, for those who don't know, it's sort of Fire Emblem-y Shin Megami Tensei.
Maybe checking my drink.
Yeah, I think that was that game. I think that was that game we were talking about earlier a few episodes ago that was, I think, originally started out as Fire Emblem Cross Shin Megami. So
I'm excited for that game coming for one major reason. It's not really my jam. Like, I'm not going to play that game. I mean, I'm happy for the fans, but the reason I'm so excited about that is I feel like that was one of the more niche games to come to the Wii U that's coming to Switch. So my thinking is if that's coming, that gives me a lot more hope for, like, Pikmin 3, Wind Waker HD. You know, the games that, were a lot bigger in sales.
Right.
So
and then to wrap things up with the Nintendo Direct, and then I'll get your guys' thoughts overall on the Direct itself. So we already covered Deadly Premonition 2, A Blessing in Disguise is what it's called. Divinity Original Sin 2, Definitive Edition, Doom 64, Star Wars Jedi Knight 2, Tokyo Mirage Session, we already mentioned, Trials of Mana, and Vampire. With
really quick, too, on these games. Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Outcast is coming to that's already on Xbox through backwards, I think. Yeah, it is. But it's coming to PS4 as well, so that's really cool, too, even if you're not a Nintendo guy. Like, that game's getting released, you know, on everything, so.
Right. So, man, that was a lot of stuff. So since we have to keep the show moving here, let me just quickly get each of your thoughts on the Direct. Josh, let me toss it over to you first. Overall thoughts?
I thought it was really good. I was hoping for, more Wii U ports. I know that sounds kind of like a silly wish, but I want Wind Waker HD and Twilight Princess HD and Mario 3D World on the Switch.
I think those will come, man. I really do. I think, with those is, those are something maybe they're holding for a little bit of a dry period.
True.
I mean, right now, look at all this shit. Like, it just, there's no time to play all these games. I think that's like a good summer release or some, you know, those games you mentioned for when it's a little bit more dry. They're holding it for
Excited for the Deadly Premonition. So. Not only the new one, but the first one, because I've always wanted to play that, but it's like only in PS3, you know? And so like, I'm fine with that, but I want that to be in a modern platform. You know, what better one than the Switch, right? So I'm excited for that.
Exactly.
And then I'm super excited for Doom 64. Honestly, like I never got to play that. The fact that's come into the Switch is fucking cool. The thing I was most excited about though was the, more footage of Luigi's Mansion 3 and Animal Crossing. I'm fucking excited over like the rooftops for both those games. So getting to see more from those games, especially Animal Crossing, was very exciting. And man, all the co-op shit they announced for Luigi's Mansion 3, like up to 8 players for one of the modes, I forgot, but like it looks so good. Anyway, sorry.
And
go
hopefully
ahead.
Nintendo will get us a copy of
maybe
Luigi's Mansion and Animal Crossing. That'd be really cool.
So
Chris,
for me,
go ahead.
I thought it was an impressive Direct, but there was one game that we missed, and that was Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition.
Oh yeah,
I think that looks amazing. And,
oh, that's right. Yeah,
for me, just like Deadly Premonition for you, like it's super tough to find a Wii copy of Xenoblade Chronicles. And I don't have a Wii U, so I wasn't able to play the port of that. So when I have a Switch, I'll be able to play Xenoblade Chronicles, the original game that is this highly critically acclaimed game, with a fresh new look, you know? The character models look amazing, and the map looks great, and it looks like a modern game set in the Xenoblade Chronicles 2 engine, so I'm super jazzed for that. We also saw more of Pokemon Sword and Shield. There's customization with your avatars, and there's like a cooking mechanic as well, which I like. So yeah, like I think Pokemon Sword and Shield's looking better and better every time I see it now. I think there's a visual upgrade as well, some people noticed, since the last time we saw it. So I'm actually looking forward to Pokemon now. So yeah, bring it on.
That's good to hear, because a lot of people were kind of down on it just because of the whole, you know, you can't catch them all thing. But I think, I mean, who really has all the, who has time to catch them all anyway? Like, I just play through the story and I enjoy it, and I have fun with it every time. So I think people just need to cool it on that.
Plus, it's such a side that's just me thing. Though, maybe. I don't know. It's so much work for so little of the fan base, because for me, I just get the Pokemon that's in that region. Not a big deal for me.
So, speaking of Pokemon, let's move on here. Pokemon Masters hits 10 million downloads in just 4 days. Now, this is a game that you've been playing, right, Chris? This Pokemon Masters? And I think you touched on it a couple weeks ago, because you had, like, the unearly
Grayson and I also gushed about it last week. We really like the game. So,
okay, so we don't have to spend too much time on it,
but it's no surprise that it's got up to 10 million downloads already, because it's such a quality game. The presentation is wonderful, and I love the gameplay because it's different to the standard Pokemon formula, but it's very challenging. It's fun to collect all the different trainers, and yeah, it's just something new for fans of the series to try out. So I definitely recommend it if you haven't.
And is this a free download?
And I feel like it's worth your time just to try it out, because honestly, you get so much for free, really. I have only spent $1.30 or probably $1 US for a microtransaction, and that's it, really. So,
That's awesome. So, let's move on. Oh, this was an interesting one. Okay. So, if you guys remember at E3 during Bethesda's show, everybody, like, sort of fell in love with the director of Ghostwire Tokyo. And,
spooky.
You know, she came out on stage. She came out on stage, and everybody was just, like, they kind of, like, fell in love with her. It's sort of, like, the same way that people, like, re-fell in love with Keanu Reeves. Her name is Ikumi Nakamura. She has left Tango Gameworks. And I just find that really bizarre, because there's a, you know, her game is coming out or being made right now. I had a Gamatsu article pulled here, and I actually wrote this story up for PlayStation Lifestyle. There wasn't really much of an explanation. She just sort of tweeted out. I'll read her tweet here. It reads, quote, "After 9 years as creative director and art director at Tango and ZeniMax, I felt here is one of ends of the journeys." Oh, that's a weird translation. "I felt here is one of end of the journeys." Okay. "I learned from the talented people I've worked with, and I respect..." you can tell this is translated. "Contact me if anyone wants to work with me." Okay. So, yeah, no explanation on that. I wonder how that will impact the game. I don't know. I mean, maybe all of the work that she needed to do is
done.
Yeah,
true. It could be positive. Really
impact the game. We haven't seen any gameplay. Yeah, it was just the CG bollocks at E3. And then that's all we saw. So we don't know how exactly this game's forming up. So it's a little...
And this could be very telling, maybe.
Yeah, this seems telling to me. It's very problematic. Maybe Shinji Mikami can take over. I think that's his name. The development role of creative director. And maybe you can sort the ship out. But I don't know.
Maybe this will be in development hell for 5 years, and this will be the new spooky anthem.
Oh, God. That sounds awful. It's just weird because, like, I mean, she was so excited about this. And then also, on the other hand, I'm thinking about how, like, Bethesda's been kind of on a decline lately. I almost wonder if there's a Venn diagram there, you know?
Well, they're trying to push for more, like, microtransactions, live service kind of stuff. So maybe that's a reason why she kind of fell out with the studio, perhaps?
That doesn't work with a lot of games for most gamers, but that really does not work for, like, horror games. I remember in Dead Space 3 being like, what the fuck? Get this out of my game.
Yeah, it's just, it kind of defeats the purpose. Like, hey, buy this stuff to make the make
yeah, like, no, I want the game to be so scary. I don't want to be like, oh, cool, I'll buy an extra health pack with $1 in real cash.
Yeah. So we'll follow that story and see what happens. I don't know that she's, like, moving to another company or if she's, like, done. I don't know. It was just a really weird thing that caught a lot of people off guard. And I think there's more to that story. We can only kind of speculate for right now, but... me wearing my tinfoil hat, I feel like something went down.
I wouldn't be surprised if that project is cancelled within a year. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus, man. That'd be bad. Because that game looked really cool. I mean, I know we didn't see gameplay, but it looked kind of interesting. A game that is not interesting is Anthem. So let's talk about that. yeah, it's good. So BioWare put out this blog post the other day, and it was written by Casey Hudson, and there was an excerpt about Anthem. I guess I'll read the whole thing because it's all relevant. They actually covered other games too. So they talked about Anthem, they talked about Star Wars: The Old Republic, other stuff. But I feel like the main point was to talk about Anthem because it's a game that everybody's like, what the hell's going on here? So this is from Casey Hudson. It reads, quote, "Over the last few weeks, we've been ramping up our Cataclysm events in Anthem, a season-long event with new arenas, enemies, challenges, and rewards. We have a big team working on Anthem in both Austin and Edmonton, and while it's great to see the community response to Cataclysm, I know there's a lot more work to do to bring out the full potential of the game. We have plans for those more fundamental improvements, but they'll take time. While the team works towards the longer-term vision of the game, they will also continue to deliver updates to features and content. I believe in Anthem and would love to see its world grow, evolve, and thrive for years to come. Thanks for your patience and support as we do the work of consistently improving and expanding the experience." End quote. Yeah. Very interesting. So I know a lot of people are just like, dude, just end it. Just like, just put a nail in that coffin and just call it a day. But evidently, they're going to keep supporting it.
Here's my theory on it.
Yeah,
I think want to do a relaunch of Anthem on next gen on PS5. Like, that's what I'm thinking. Like, it'd be technically more impressive. They could probably sort out the gameplay issues within a year, probably, and then they'll have a game that they could say, "Hey, you know, check this out. This is much better than it was before."
Very strange to me, though. Like, I mean, I feel like it's... I don't know. I mean, even if it came out and it was amazing, I just don't know that people would get it. I mean, I know some people might get it, but the name, I feel like, is sort of tarnished.
It's true. You think? I mean, but I was listening to Alex Derrickson on the PlayStation 4 cast. Rest in peace, man. Sorry about the podcast. you'll be missed, man. Anyway, to stay on topic, he was mentioning that he loved the gameplay and he loves the gunplay, just like me. But he loves the flight system as well. But the story and the world are just not that interesting, and there's mechanical issues as well with the game, like a lot of
the skeleton of the game is really good. So it could be a great game.
So if they just work on the issues that the game has, I think maybe this could be a good relaunch for EA and BioWare.
And maybe when the game comes out, and if it's good, like for the relaunch, that dog that's barking can play it, and maybe it'll stop barking. It'll be excited to play Anthem. Maybe that'll happen. I don't know. man, somebody throw that thing a bone. Very bizarre. Josh, let me get your take on the Anthem situation.
I don't know. It mostly just depresses me because, like, BioWare used to be one of my favorite developers. And I know it might be hard to remember now, but, like, BioWare used to be, like, a huge fucking name. Like, every time they announced anything, it was like, ooh, what are they working on? So, like, I don't know. It's depressing for me because, I love Mass Effect 2 is, like, one of my favorite games. KOTOR.
Yeah. A lot of people really love KOTOR.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, Obsidian's sequel was better, but I still love the first one. Anyway, it's just sad for me. I try not to think about Anthem because I was excited for it until I remembered Andromeda and what could happen. And I canceled my pre-order when I got, you know, nervous. And then I played the beta, and that's when I was like, okay, this is what it is. So I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic. If what Chris said happens and we get like a Rainbow Six Siege, No Man's Sky style, like, you know, rebirth, that would be super cool. I would love this game to be successful. BioWare, they're clearly a competent developer. They know what they're doing. We don't have time to get into it today, but someone look up Jason Schreier's article if you're ever curious about the development of this game, because a lot of the issues were just, you know, just business management and just office bullshit, and the people that are working there know how to make a good game. So I'm sure, imagine how frustrated you are. Now, imagine, like, this was a passion project for you, and you wanted it to be good, and you knew it could have been good. So I don't know. I'm almost wondering if EA is realizing BioWare's potential, like remembering BioWare's potential rather, and like, you know, maybe we should just let them take the reins again. I don't know. So I don't know. I'm optimistic, but I'm also, you know, I'm just it's depressing. It makes me really sad. So I'm hoping what Chris predicts.
Part of the problem with BioWare, just like maybe Ghostwire Tokyo, is that the leadership has gone, right? Like, They kind of lost that during the development of Anthem, so I think that severely affected the management of that game. Plus, also, I think if Jedi Fallen Order does well later on, I think EA's future games will probably be on Unreal Engine 4, which would be a relief to many people in BioWare, right?
Right.
So, I don't know.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And Josh, that's a good point you bring up, comparing it to No Man's Sky and Rainbow Six, because those are games that, you know, launched to mediocre reception, if not worse than that. And now we're like beloved and have these giant communities, and like, you know, the people play them all the time and they get updated. So, you know, that could happen. It's not outside the realm of possibility. It's just for whatever reason, I don't see it coming as easy as it did with those other games. Not that it came easily, but it's going to be an uphill battle.
But the quote that surprises me is that they want to support it for years to come. Like, how? What?
Yeah, good luck with that. With what player base? Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. Alright, so let's talk a little bit of Gears 5. I know you guys said you didn't get a chance to play it too much, but this interesting story popped up. And that is that Dave Bautista, the wrestler, I guess he's an actor now. There you go. Thank you. Is going to be in Gears 5 or somehow. So I've got this article here. Let's see. One second. Sorry. Okay, here we go. There's a tweet from Dave Bautista. It's about damn time. Play as me in Gears 5 starting September 15th after the WWE Clash of Champions. So really cool. I know throughout the development of the Gears series, he's always been like very vocal about that he wants to.
Yeah, he's been trying to get involved with the movie. Like, since, you know, it's in the same kind of development hell as like Halo and Uncharted movies. Like, you know, it's gonna happen, but when?
Right.
Yeah, he's been really wanting to get in that movie. So I wonder if this is Microsoft just being like, you know what? We don't know about that, but thank you for being a big fan. You know, we'll put you in the game. I don't know.
Yeah. So he's not actually playing Marcus Fenix or anything. It's not like a weird thing like that. He's just, it's just playing.
Yeah. It's like Run the Jewels when they were in Gears 4. Yeah. It's just, here's a cool character.
So that's really cool. And I think that might get us closer to seeing him in a movie, maybe. Like if people fall in love with him as in Gears, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
It's good to have in your resume.
I think so, yeah. So, I mean, I would actually really enjoy a good Gears movie, because the story, maybe not so much in the first one, but as the games progress, I feel like the story gets more complicated, and it'd be really cool, and I think he's a talented actor, and
I think he can do it, for sure. That could work. Like, he can do the dumb movies and stuff, and be a comic relief character, but when it comes to push comes to shove, with his acting, like I think he can do it. He's shown that with Drax in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. I'd also like to say that I think this is a great PR move from Microsoft, because like the WWE and Gears of War kind of like have the same kind of audience, you know. So I think it's a great
move. Chris, take that back right now. Take that. I'm going to rephrase what you're saying, and I'm hoping you agree with me. There are WWE fans that like Gears of War, but not all Gears of War fans like WWE.
That's what I'm saying. Like, right. I think it can
attract. Okay, I'm just, let's yeah, okay.
A big game like that, like Gears of War, it needs both the core and hardcore gamers, right? So it's just trying to attract those who aren't as interested in gaming to come over to Xbox and play some Gears.
Yeah. And I'm sure, like, during their events, the wrestling events, they'll advertise the shit out of Gears of War. They always do that. They have, like, crossover, advertisements and stuff. So that'd be really cool. Okay. Couple more stories here. And then
I didn't mean to get that worked up. I was just like, hey, man, I don't like wrestling, and I love Gears of War.
God. All right. So let's talk about Cyberpunk 2077. That's a game that is very much anticipated, looks really awesome. From the demo I saw at E3, it's probably my most anticipated game that is not on a Nintendo platform.
It's definitely going to be the breathtaking game of the year.
Yeah. So CD Projekt Red has confirmed that multiplayer is in the works and will be coming post-launch. So that's kind of all we know at this point, but I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on what you think that could be. Do you think it's going to be co-op, or do you think it's going to be competitive, or some combination of the two, or both?
I think it's going to be a combination of the two. I think it could be like in a Souls kind of way, where people go into your world and try to hack you, or try to affect your mission, like, in between, you know? Something like that. I think that'd be a really cool mechanic to add into Cyberpunk. But could be its own mode.
Interesting. So, but I wonder, I mean, it's not coming at launch, so I just feel like that could get weird. It could get kind of segmented, right? Because, like, say everybody plays it at launch, and then they, you know, beat the game, and then they move on, and then they put that mechanic in. I feel like people might not try it.
So it's probably going to be co-op or something, game, you know? Like co-op missions just to keep people playing
something additional.
That's probably going to be it.
Right, but I think that's really cool that they're doing that, although I will say it's probably unnecessary. Like, a part of me would almost just rather them either work on something new or just, like, make sure Cyberpunk is running smoothly and stuff. I just don't know that there's a gigantic audience for a multiplayer component in their new game. I mean, they primarily focus on single-player stuff, so I feel like it's kind of unnecessary. But we'll see. I mean, I'll try it out for sure. Josh, will you be checking out the multiplayer in Cyberpunk?
Probably not. Just did it, you know, I only have so much time kind of thing. I can only play a couple multiplayer games at a time if I still want to play single player stuff. But my thinking on what it's going to be like is going to be like Red Dead Online, GTA Online, except for like their own kind of universe, obviously. But, you know, like, I think it's going to be kind of like that.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's like going to be filled with as much bullshit microtransactions. I think it's going to be more cosmetic. You know, instead, customization, I think, is going to be a lot more of a factor than that. And I also, here's my other theory on the multiplayer. I think with that customization being what will drive at least some of the microtransactions, if it has it, is I think that the multiplayer will be all in third person, or at least work really well in third person, which that's what I think they're going to do.
Interesting point. Huh. Well, we'll have to see what happens with that. I'm really excited for Cyberpunk. It'll be out April 16th of 2020.
I just want to say really quick, too, I saw some people online be like, man, I'm not going to buy it now. Get the fuck out of here. Like, this doesn't ruin the single-player game. It's coming afterwards. They're not delaying it for the multiplayer. It's just an extra thing. Don't be mad. Just don't play it if you don't want to play it, you know? Play the thing you're excited for still. Play the story mode.
Right. Okay, last news story, and then we'll get into our listener question we have. The PS4 top downloads for the month of August have been revealed, and I'm not going to go through all 20 of them, but there's a couple points I wanted to bring up. Number one, Madden NFL 20 was the most downloaded PS4 game of August, which is not really surprising. But the one thing I wanted to bring up is that Minecraft and Grand Theft Auto 5 are within the top 5, which is just bananas to me. Dark Pictures Anthology Man of Medan came in at number 20, so just barely hitting that point. And then also I wanted to point out that Control didn't even make the top 20. So despite its positive reviews, and I know you guys weren't crazy about it, but the general consensus seems that, you know, that people were really liking it, didn't even make the top 20. So that's very interesting to me. No Man's Sky made the top 20, obviously because of the Beyond expansion. And then Rainbow Six Siege still, having a strong sort of player base that just continues to show up. And actually, it was just announced that game has hit 50 million.
That's so good, too. If you haven't checked it out and you like multiplayer games at all, this is different from everything else out right now. Like, completely different. There's nothing else like it.
Yeah, Rainbow Six is awesome. So let me go through the top 10 and then I'll get your thoughts. In order, starting with number 1, Madden NFL 20. Number 2, Minecraft PlayStation 4 Edition. Number 3, Grand Theft Auto 5. Number 4, Marvel's Spider-Man, hanging in there. Number 5, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege. Number 6, Remnant from the Ashes. Number 7, Black Desert. Number 8, PUBG. Number 9, Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2. And that's probably
due to the announcement. Had some good sales on both consoles, yeah.
Well, yeah, I think there's a sale, but also there was a new announcement
for
Battle for Neighborville, so maybe people are, you know, jumping into that to get excited for the new game. And then number 10, Rocket League. So yeah, interesting list. Sort of makes sense. What do you guys make of the top downloads for PS4?
Chris, I'm going to defend Control quickly. It did come out on August 27th, so that might be a factor. Like, I only had 4 days to really make an impact.
Oh, good point.
So did, so and that's a good that point. That might be why Man of Medan was so low as well, because it was at 20. And that just came out very recently. So, yeah. So those are two games that we should really think, oh, wait, yeah, okay. But other than that, yeah, it's a bit of a weird list. I didn't think Remnant from the Ashes would do very well, but there it is. I believe it's a third-person shooter that's kind of got Souls mechanics within it, and it's from Perfect World, I think.
Oh, interesting.
I think they're publishing it, so it's kind of cool. It's developed by Gunfire Games, so, yeah.
Oh, they're the developers of
Darksiders 3. Right. And it seems quite interesting. Yeah. There's a co-op co-op kind of like centric gameplay in there, and I don't know, I might check that out myself. It is a budget title. I think it's like $40 or $50, so it just shows again that, you know, $40-$50 games can be successful in today's climate.
Yeah, good point. Josh, any thoughts on the top
just to kind of wookie back off what Chris was saying, I think that it's still kind of telling that Control is not at least number 20 or, you know, 19, because those day one sales are, you know, usually a big indicator. And then a little bit of cynicism. I try not to be cynical anymore, but just a little bit. I'm happy that it isn't, like, selling gangbusters, at least. I mean, I want the game to be successful, but I want them to revisit, you know, Alan Wake. So, like, I'm happy this game wasn't, like, the number one selling game, and I hope, you know, that they revisit their other IPs.
Like, you're saying, like, if it was more successful, then maybe they would continue.
Yeah, I feel like maybe they'd be like, although, well, obviously we should make Control 2, like, now.
Yeah.
I don't know. They a shared universe, kind of a weird way of looking at it. It's not like this shuts down Control completely, you know? They could do Alan Wake, you know, 2, Quantum Break 2, Control 2. You know, it's the shared universe. There was information in Control about objects, events, and characters from Alan Wake in the game. That's all I'll say about spoiling stuff. Right. There were items that were AWEs in Alan Wake that were talked about in Control. So, I mean, they're connected. So, I don't know. I'm not saying I don't want Control 2. I'm just saying, you know, I'm glad it's not, like, the most successful game ever right now, because I want other stuff.
Whenever I hear other people talk about Control, I feel like I've played a completely different game. You know?
But, me too.
I do, too, because the general consensus is, like, that it's amazing, and you guys were
so
down
people,
on it.
Talk about, like, the loot. Easy Allies was talking about the loot and how it's awesome.
Yeah, being, like,
and
exciting
and fun.
And I was like, what?
No, the stats mean nothing. The abilities are boring. The weapons, like, they're cool. But I have little incentive to upgrade or change up my weapons at all. So, like, yeah, I don't get it. I don't get the positive response to it, honestly.
Well, I still have yet to play it. We have a copy, so I'm going to maybe try that this weekend and see what I think. But I want to give it a try at least, just because there's a lot of people saying that they really
like
it.
For me, it's like Anthem. The skeleton's really great. I mean, it's better than Anthem, but I'm saying that's what it is for me. And I think that's why I was so disappointed, is that it's not completely bad. It's like, it's really promising and it had a lot of potential, but for me, it didn't meet, you know, what it could have, you know, met. So, yeah, everybody should still check it out. It's not a bad game.
Right. Okay, so let's take a quick break. I know we're running a little bit longer, but there's a lot to talk about. Yeah, Nintendo Direct. Yeah. and then we'll get to a listener question, and then we'll finish the show with what we've been playing. So we will be right back. All right, everybody, and we are back. Let's get to our one and only listener question here. Remember, you guys can write into the show via our Twitter thread every Wednesday we post for that upcoming episode, and just ask us anything video game related or not. Ask us what our favorite chicken wing sauce is. Mild, medium,
spicy
or
garlic.
Is it medium or mild? Yeah, spicy garlic. I do like the dry rub. They have this
I don't want it too dry.
Dry rub. Well, I mean, it's good, I tell you what. All right, anyhow, let's get to this. We have a Twitter user by the name of Zach LaRoque Walker. That's a very, like, I don't know, that's a cool name. Zach LaRoque Walker. He's got multiple questions, so this will be kind of a meaty one to dive into. First question, do you think we will get crossplay once do you think we will get crossplay with Overwatch once it's out on Switch?
They talked about it. They said they're looking into it right now.
Blizzard is like considering it, that kind of thing. I don't know if he means just crossplay with like Nintendo or like crossplay for all systems, like PC, PS4, Xbox, and Nintendo all playing with one another. I do think that if PC is in that mix, that they'll have to have some sort of peripheral filter, so that way mouse and keyboard people aren't playing with people who are playing on Switch.
I think it'll be like Fortnite, where it's just got full crossplay across consoles, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I think so.
But
yeah,
they have that whole Blizzard account thing as well with Overwatch, so it might be a bit more tricky coding-wise than the typical multiplayer game.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, it's definitely, I don't know, I've heard sometimes people say that it's just a flip of a Switch kind of a thing. I don't know that it's that simple all the time. Maybe in some cases it is. Like, I remember with Rocket League.
I know Rocket League and Fortnite, it was a flip of a Switch.
Yeah, but it just kind of depends. Because if you didn't design the game with that in mind, it might be more complicated to implement.
I think it depends on Sony's mood for how well it'll work.
Sure, fair enough. Okay, his next question. Now that Tokyo Mirage Sessions is getting ported and Xenoblade is getting remade in the Xenoblade 2 engine, what's the next port or remake coming from Nintendo? Well, what's the next one we want, or what's the next one we think? Because I would love Pikmin 3 to come out as a port, and also Wind Waker, and maybe Twilight Princess, but I want them to like redesign that game a little bit, because that's
my favorite. I agree.
Anyway. I would say Pikmin and Wind Waker. I don't know. What about you, Chris? What do you think?
I would say Kid Icarus, perhaps. That'd be a good one to put out, because the 3DS version with its controls just suck. So it'd be nice to... Yeah, the game
is good.
I just wish the controls were better, so it would be nice if it came to Switch. I also think that Super Mario Galaxy might be a good one to remake. That'd be amazing on Switch, right? So, with all those visuals. And it looks stunning still on the Wii, despite its 360p, 480p kind of image, right? So, that would be a lovely game to see remade on the Switch.
I'm trying to think. Maybe this would be kind of a weird one, but like a Fire Emblem collection. God, that would be...
Oh my god, if they put Awakening on the Switch, I would
die.
My dream
Switch port, like if I could have anything I wanted, would be Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask 3D reworked for one screen.
Yeah.
I love those games on 3DS. I'm just saying, I want them to work well on the Switch and put them on the Switch, because those games are perfect.
Reworked for one screen, and then also dual analog.
Yeah, because, my God, Ocarina of Time 3D is gorgeous.
I'm going to put this out there, too.
Yeah.
I honestly think Mother 3 is going to happen at some point, either a remake of it or a port. I think that's going to happen, because there's been way too much fan demand for it. And it's just a...
And we got Mother 1.
It's just
a
series that they could definitely use again, I think. And like I said, Toby Fox could make a new Earthbound or Mother game in conjunction with Nintendo. I think that'd be amazing.
Right, and then I think the obvious one that we haven't touched on is the Metroid Prime Collection. I think that's one that definitely we will see. But it's been one that we've been so confident that we were going to see like sooner, right? So I think maybe closer to the launch of
Metroid. Oh, I almost forgot. I really want Mario Galaxy 1 and 2 like so bad.
I just said that one.
Oh, Chris just
said that. Oh, I'm sorry. I was letting my dog out. She was starting to cry.
What are you smoking?
But yeah, I love those games.
Yeah, so that's a good. Those are good ones. And then his last question he asked: Does Gears 5 do enough to make it stand out from the old?
I'll have to answer this one next week, but I'll make sure.
I don't know that we have enough information for that. From what I'm seeing, the reviews are like pretty positive, and I think like just visually, it is gorgeous. Yeah. Like I saw this screenshot of one of the characters standing in some snow, and holy moly, it looked good.
Yeah.
Ah man, those games, and I love how the Gears games feel. Mm-hmm. As well, like I watched this, I saw this gif of this I guess it was like a multiplayer match, and this guy just like put his back against the wall, popped out of cover, shot this locust head off, his head exploded, and it just looked so satisfying, and it was all swift, and it just was so like I just love how those games feel.
And I've read they've Gears got awesome. Some like I've tried not to read too much in reviews yet, but I've read that there's like RPG elements and like it's more open world. Yeah. So I from what I've read, I think it definitely does. But yeah. Well, I'll report like on my actual experience next week for sure, and I think Chris will too.
And just to add to the previous question, I think Golden Sun would be a good remake too.
Stop it! I want that so bad.
Yeah, that'd be cool. All right. So that was our only question. So yeah, just remember you guys can write in on our Twitter threads each week. Every Wednesday we post up the new thread. All right, let's end the show with what we've been playing. I almost said let me throw it to you, Josh, but you haven't.
Yeah, my week was so busy. I didn't get to play anything this week. It was awful. Because
you've been adulting.
So sad.
Hey, you know what? If I didn't have that project, I don't know what this list would look like. I've only had time to play one game. I've been playing Astral Chain. And it's really weird because I almost like I mentioned before, playing a game for review, playing a game for a guide is so different. So like I feel like my interpretation of this game is so different than it normally would have been just because of the way I had to approach it. But still looking at it as like a consumer or, you know, just having fun with it, it's really cool. It does a lot of unique things. I mean, it's definitely a platinum game. And I think the combat's really interesting. I like the detective stuff where you have to like go around and figure out, you know, gather clues and figure out what's going on. It's got that sort of like Batman Arkham vibe to it where you're, you know, investigating and stuff. It's really stylish. It's, you know, the art style is gorgeous. It's actually got a pretty interesting story too, which normally in those games I don't care.
That's not usually Platinum Games' strength.
Yeah, so it's got an interesting story, and I also really like the home base. You have this like police HQ that you always report back to, and you can explore it and like level up your legions, and the legion is basically this like sentient, I don't know, like robot animal type of a thing that goes with you, and there are different versions of it. There's like an arrow one, there's a beast one that you can ride like a horse basically, there's one with like a giant axe. Like they all have different powers and stuff, so like it's really really cool, and it's got sort of almost like a like a Power Rangers feel with the legions and stuff. So yeah, really really interesting game. It's very weird, like the collectibles in the game are cats and porta potties. So
what?
So okay. Like I was writing the guide for the collectibles, which I know you touched on this earlier, Josh, but it's just wild to do when there are no guides out in the wild.
Because your first thoughts just, like, oh, I'll check it. Oh, fuck, I am the guide. Shit.
Yeah. So, but anyway, yeah, every level has a porta potty you have to visit, and like you like use the bathroom, and it's so funny. Crazy. And then you have to, and then you have this like collection of cats you find.
Oh my god, that's so like, hidden throughout the map.
It's like really really cool. Yeah, it's really really cool. So then like throughout each level you'll basically go to this other dimension, I guess is what it is, known as the astral plane, and there you'll fight all these like bizarre animal, or not, they're not really animals I guess, but they're like weird creatures, and some of them are robots I guess, and then they like sort of bleed into the real world, and you have to like close off the other dimension and stop them from coming in. So really really interesting. There's some really cool things going on there, like you can use your chain to like tie up enemies, and it's just really interesting. There's a lot of things in that game
I have a question for you
too often.
So I was listening to Easy Allies today, during the Frame Trap podcast, and they mentioned that the combat feels a lot like V from Devil May Cry 5, and I remember you not liking that at all in your review. So I'm just wondering what you think of the combat in Astral Chain overall.
Yeah, so it's not my favorite Platinum Games combat system. And I can actually, I do see that comparison to V, but my problem with V is that there literally was like nothing else you can do other than the remote sort of creatures that you had to fight for you. And so in Astral Chain, you do have weapons that you use. There's like a baton and a sword and a gun that you have. And those are, you have to actually attack enemies with that. But yeah, most of the attacks that are going on are done by your Legion. And so for the most part, yeah, you're basically just pressing one button. And then every now and then you'll press another button to like send your Legion out, but your Legion will attack on its own. So I can definitely see that comparison, and I would much prefer something like Bayonetta. Like, basically, if they mixed the Bayonetta combat with the Legion combat, then that would be really cool, although it would be kind of complicated, and the controls would be all over the place. But yeah, that's like my one complaint, actually, is in the combat, because I just feel like I was just pressing one button the whole time, like, to attack. So yeah, that's a fair comparison. But yeah, overall, I mean, it's definitely a great game, and I think people who like action games should definitely check it out. People who love weird, over-the-top, just like anime, sort of Japanese, funny stuff, like the cats in the toilets. It's just really
and cool. And don't forget to check out Joseph's guides on IGN for the game when you play it. I knew you weren't going to plug it, so I had to.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I did the whole walkthrough in 3 days. So
I want to hear your audition for this for IGN. You know that tagline at the end of IGN videos to say, keep it locked here on IGN. Let's hear you do it right now. Let's hear you do it. Let's hear it.
You want me to just say that? Okay, hold on 1 second. And for everything else, keep it locked in on IGN. You like that? Yeah. Yeah, maybe. All right. You guys are putting me on the spot here. All right, Chris, why don't you talk to me about Celeste?
Celeste is one of my favorite games as well. This was free on the Epic Games Store about a week ago. Unfortunately, it's not free anymore. I think the end is nigh, and another game has replaced it. Absolutely, that's it. But Celeste is a wonderful platformer that consistently changes up the formula. It is so satisfying. It's difficult, but you can figure it out. And it hits that like perfect balance between difficulty and and figuring out what you can do with the level to triumph over the puzzle. I love the story of this game. You play as this girl, Madeline, who's struggling with depression, and she's fighting her other self throughout the whole game, and it's so engrossing. I love the writing. It's very funny, and it has so much personality to it. I love the that soundtrack. How about that is amazing soundtrack? Oh my god, I love it so much. It gave me the feels all the time. And at the end especially. It's so emotional, and the platforming comes hand in hand with the story, because she's trying to triumph over the struggle she's having, and by climbing this mountain she's coming over her issues. She's trying to figure out who she is. And to be honest, just to reveal a bit more about myself, I'm going through that right now. I'm trying to figure out what the hell I'm doing after graduating from university. And it just came at that perfect time where I'm like, I'm starting to figure out what to do. And I related to this game so much. It's definitely one of my favorite games I've ever played. And it's the levels are so smartly designed that like it's just amazing. It's amazing, and I recommend it to anyone. You should pick up Celeste if you haven't already.
That's a great point you bring up too, and maybe this is like a a topic for a whole episode we could do of like games that just hit you at the right time, you know? Because I almost wonder your perception of this game if you were in a different life situation, you know? Like, maybe you wouldn't like it as much. I don't know. I mean, it's still objectively a great game, but maybe it wouldn't hit you as much. There are so many games I can think of that have hit me like that I wonder I may not have liked this otherwise. So it's really interesting to hear you bring up that point. And then obviously, yeah, the whole point of the game to like overcome this challenge, and it sort of ties in with the gameplay, and you're going
it's
through that.
So it's cohesive.
Really cool,
it's,
man.
It's
I love
really
video games.
It's a cohesive game. And it's really smart, and like the characters are really funny. They're really likable. So yeah, like it, but at the same time, I feel like it's not a game I really want to go back to. That's an experience I've had, I've gone through it, and I don't feel like I should go back, because I think it ruined my initial experience with the game. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, that's how I feel about something like Journey. You know, played through it once.
You might end up going back to it anyway, though, just because there's like a shitload of like free DLC on the way. Well, I mean, it's one DLC that's free, but like it's a lot. Like a lot of content.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, maybe. That's a good point. Do you think you'll revisit it for the DLC?
No, I don't think I will. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair. Cool. So I also see here that Halo Fireteam.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that
I'm
is.
I'm really
what
jealous
is,
you got
yeah,
to check
so
that out.
Yeah, so this is really cool. I went to the arcades to hang out with my friends. Friend for the last time. He's my best friend. I'm leaving town, so that's the reason why we're hanging out. Well, we do hang out often, but you know. Anyway, we played Halo Fireteam Raven. It's typically a four-player game, but we're playing it two players. And basically, there's two screens in front of you, and it's super cinematic. You really get engrossed in the gameplay, and the guns feel so satisfying when you're playing this arcade game. It takes about 45 minutes to an hour. And it's super fun. It consistently changes up the gameplay with you're shooting down ships in the air, like, and I love that you can use like a grenade to take out like large swarms of enemies, and the guns feel so great on your hands, you know, as it's firing. And then it adds that kind of like nice it adds this nice kind of effect to your gun. It just like flashes lights. So it feels like you're firing the bullets towards the screen. So it's great.
So is this like
it's
on
an
rails kind
thing,
of a thing?
Yes.
Or do you... Okay. Oh, so sort of like...
Time Crisis.
I can't think of it.
Yeah.
Like a House of the Dead almost. Stuff Yeah. So interesting. And so this is only
Yeah,
in
it's
arcades.
Only in arcades. I think it's going to expand more because it's going to be cheaper for arcade places to have it now, because it's usually a two-screen kind of experience. But this time, it's over the next year, I believe they're going to start coming out with like the one-screen experience of just two players. If you can get that four-player experience, I definitely recommend it, because it's super immersive and you'll dive right into it. So it's great to finish the fight in this arcade game and see Master Chief kind of like show off like during cinematics. It's really super cool. And this is the first Halo game I've actually beaten. I've actually finished it all the way through. So
that's awesome. And so is this a game that is canon?
I think so. Yeah, so
the
gist of it, I believe, because I haven't played the Halo games, is that you're playing as this...
What my understanding of it is it's a different take on
Halo
1. Yes,
that's what I think it is, yeah. So you're
like
playing as
angle.
Like a side squad as this war's going on, and I think the last level of the arcade game is the final boss. I think that's what's going on.
Okay.
I would say more because I'm familiar with Halo, but I haven't played this yet. I'm
you really
jealous.
Should play.
I think it's a Dave and Buster's.
Yeah, it seems like
in America.
Seems
so.
Like something Josh should try. Yeah, cool. That's interesting. That sort of makes me miss going to the arcade. I remember going to like GameWorks and you know Dave and Buster's and stuff. These places that have arcades. I mean, the arcade scene isn't really what
I think
it used
it's coming
to be,
back.
So my take on it.
I honestly think it's coming back.
Especially
most of the arcades are a little disappointing. Like, it's mostly like mobile ports. Like, I even saw like a Flappy Bird machine.
Like, right, I was just gonna say that. Yeah, you could play Flappy Bird.
And then there's another thing, Injustice. Like, you'd think it would be the fighting game, but it isn't. It's the mobile game that they put in the arcades.
Because they should totally have Injustice and Mortal Kombat 11 in an arcade, but like the actual game.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. Huh, very interesting. I would love to go to an arcade with you guys.
We should
really
do
fun.
That when we go to E3. Eventually.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure there's some sort of like barcade or something like that. Yeah, we all need to go to E3 next year. Although, hopefully they don't leak out our information online. True. But that's a story for another time. all right, well, that about does it for episode 37 of Active Quest. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Let's go around and do some plugging, and then we'll say goodbye for the day. Josh,
you can find me on Twitter at Mr. Josh Nichols. And I'm going to try to stream some Gears 5 on Twitch. My Twitch is JerkJersh77. So, yeah, I'll probably end up streaming some Gears.
Cool. Mr. Chris Penwell, where can people find you when you're not on the show?
You will be able to find me on the That Speak Geek podcast soon, and my first guest, as we announced last week, is Grayson Morales, so that'd be great to talk to him about Pokemon and Kingdom Hearts, and we'll just be geeking out for an hour, so look forward to that coming this month.
He loves his Kingdom Hearts.
And so do I.
That's funny. Cool. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to hear that. That'll be interesting. And like I said before, Grayson's awesome. Anything else you have?
I'm still
going to
work on the interview with series, but right now I'm just busy with moving, and it's just been a crazy month, so unfortunately I haven't got around to that yet. But when I get settled, I'm going to start recording my VO. I'm going to do this podcast, and hopefully I'll be sending a few pitches over to IGN and all about on VG247 and all those kind of outlets, so look out for me soon, because you've inspired me to actually start pitching and start doing work in the industry, because you know, like, you actually got something out of it, you know, you got response back, and now you're working, you know, for IGN, so I think that's really cool. So anything's attainable.
God, man, hearing you say that is like wild, man. Like, that sentence you just said, it's just crazy. Like, I never thought that would happen. So, yeah. I mean, honestly, dude, like, I'm, like, okay at writing. I'm, like, okay. I feel like I'm fine at it. But, like, the majority of it is just get your face out there, get your name out there, just keep talking with them, keep making friends, network.
I mean, I feel like
I
undervalue myself.
So, yeah, I totally think you can do it.
Yeah, so I'll probably be putting myself
out
more.
Honestly,
just,
I do too.
Like, forcing myself to do it.
Right. Yeah, I hope you do, man. And obviously, if you have any questions about that, you let me know. And I know a lot of people that work there, so, you know, we can maybe make something happen there. Okay. And then you can find me on Twitter at Joseph Yaden. Maybe hopefully checking out my Astral Chain guide on IGN. And hopefully other guides. I don't know if they're gonna have me do anything else in the future.
Thanks,
we'll see. And then obviously covering, oh god, the man, that would be wild. And of course covering news on PlayStation Lifestyle. And you can follow the show on Twitter at ActiveQuestShow. You can get in touch with us at activequestpodcast@gmail.com. I think that's our email, right? Yeah. activequestpodcast@gmail.com. There it is. And then don't forget to rate us on iTunes. I know we're like a smaller show, but getting those ratings
really helps.
We can
get to E3 if you rate us enough times. So we'd love to cover that for you.
Yeah, that's true. We can get in. You can get in as a podcast at E3. I don't know if they're going to change the way that works next year, but yeah. Basically, the way they look at it is how many ratings you have right now. So that'd be really awesome. Just give us.
It also might be like maybe they'll just pre-leak everybody's info. Just to get it out of the way.
Jesus fucking Christ. So yeah, if you like what you hear, leave us a review there. That's pretty much it. That's been episode 37. Thank you guys for listening. And
37.
Is it 37? Is that what I said? 37. And you guys can catch us next week. So we appreciate you listening.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.